episode 3 of Behind Home Plate. Now, if you're a rookie in fantasy baseball, or if you're an expert looking for an edge, or you're just somebody who loves the game of baseball, then you've got the best seat in the house with us, Behind Home Plate. The only downside is you've got two annoying blokes sitting beside you, chomping on their popcorn and drinking too much beer. Great pleasure to welcome James Holden. Jimbo, how are you, sir?
Hello, Jonathan. Yeah, all good. My drafts are well and truly underway, so two down this week. Had a really interesting one last night. So it's a dynasty league. Most players are kept, so very few players available. Learning a lot there. And tonight I've got one of my favourite leagues. It's Tenniverse. It's a keeper league. Some really nice guys in the US and Canada. So yeah, well and truly underway. Really excited, really getting into it.
And I really love the fact you reference really nice guys, because I think for me, that is what fantasy sport, particularly fantasy baseball, is all about. It's about the camaraderie. It's about the relationships. It's about the fun, the banter, the message board. So for any rookies out there that are looking to dip their toe, should we focus big time on the joy of fantasy?
Yeah, I think so, hugely. I mean, for me, the commissioner actually of your league is really important as well. So somebody who really tries to create an event, who keeps in contact with players throughout the season with all of the rest of the managers, that's really important. And yeah, you want also people who are in it. I've got some really good commissioners, I'll say, in the leagues that I've stayed in. It's notable to me that they are the leagues with the really strong commissioners who really do keep everybody included, keep it very fair. But you also want people in it who take it seriously, but not too seriously. So everyone has to be trying to win. If half of your league have checked out halfway through the season, it's very dull. But equally, you know, there can only be one winner. And for, you know, the 95% of people who aren't going to win that league, you want to make sure they do want to come back next year because they've had a good time.
Well, you mentioned the fact that you've kicked off your drafting season, which is how I see it. I love the fact you've talked about having two already with numerous ones. I mean, we were looking at our diary before starting this record and we're like back to back to back drafts. Do you feel that perhaps we may be going a bit too far? Are we getting a tad obsessive?
I think there are people in my personal life who definitely feel I'm going too far, but I've promised them it will be all over in about 10 days time. Yeah.
Well, I want to give one shout out, by the way, to FB UK, Fantasy Baseball UK, because I know their draft is happening very soon this week. So we wish them the very best of luck. And for those of you who don't know, FB UK was the league that we started as part of Channel 5 Baseball all those years ago. And Tim's kept it alive after the legend that was Jeff Ellingham handed over the reins. Jeff was the creator of the game. And so big shout out to them and to everyone that's drafting this week. Best of luck, guys. And I hope we can offer you some insights before you hit draft time. Now, what makes a good fantasy league is the opening question of the show, Jimbo.
Good fantasy league, as I say, it's about the people in it. It's also about the rules and the regulations and finding one that works for you. I think fundamentally, yeah, not all leagues are the same. Some people like a draft and hold where you kind of get all your players in the beginning of the season and then you stick with it. Other people like a league where there's an awful lot of trading. Other people like a league where you can pick up new players every week, week in, week out. So depends. Find a league that works for you. That's what I'd say, JG. And ultimately, yes, again, with people who you like and are the kind of people who you like getting on with.
Well, we've certainly found a new league, and that is the Legends of Batflips and Nerds, who very kindly invited us to join their Invitational League. There's a great story connected to this. I know you don't want me to tell it.
I know where you're going here.
I've got to tell it. So first of all, thank you to the guys at Batflips and Nerds for inviting us. Obviously, we've accepted. You can't make out that you know anything about fantasy if you're not willing to put your head on the block. But I'm loving it. They've got all the broadcast material. They've got some serious fantasy baseball players involved. But when we saw the promotional footage, it did make me laugh because it referenced Behind Home Plate with Johnny Gould and James Hardon. Now, I know you're excited about your fantasy baseball, Jimbo, but this is taking a bit too far, isn't it?
No, I know.
Can I stress now, his name is Holden, spelled H-O-L-D-E-N, for those of you that are confused.
But clearly, there's been no mention of, James Hardon from you, from Eric. So, yeah, I mean, it is very entertaining. Should I, unfortunately...
Have you highlighted it? Have you pointed it out to them?
To do that, listen, no. Yeah. I'm kind of, I think this might be the start of a whole new career. I can move out of fantasy baseball into some much more lucrative spheres, really.
James does Milton Keynes. I can see it now.
It's, yeah, I do. Right. Moving on.
yeah. Okay.
We have a packed show, JG. Do we not?
We certainly do, Jim. Thank you for listening in. Lovely to have your company as always. Can you believe it? Episode 3. The season hasn't even kicked off yet. Well, we're going head to head because we all know you love a predictive battle between mates. Well, James and I are going to go head to head on this show, trying to predict the divisional winners, the wild card winners, and actually the eventual World Series winners as well. Last week, we kicked off the Trust or Bust segment. Seems to have proved very popular, Jay. So we're going to look to continue that.
Yeah, it's funny. We've had loads of people getting in contact saying how useful they found that was. So yes, we're doing it differently this week. They're one for each position.
So we'll be very specific. And also in response to your messages, whether it be on Twitter or by email, we have a big announcement to make, which will involve you getting in touch with us this week if you're interested in that announcement. I'm not going to let the cat out of the bag.
And that has something to do with why I've been asked to put a ski slope behind me in the background here on Zoom, Johnny. Yes,
so for those who have the visual facility, they may be wondering why a baseball podcast has two ski slopes. But yes, it will all be clear and apparent. So quick reminder, if you do want to get in contact, email us at behindhomeplatepod@gmail.com, or you can contact us on Twitter at BHPpod, as in Behind Home Plate Pod. Or, of course, you can contact us directly. We're more than happy if you want to do that. My Twitter handle is at Johnny M. Gould. M for mother, by the way, Johnny M. Gould. And James is much trendier, much sexier, at Jam99. Mind you, after the bat flips and nerds reference, you might be changing it again, big guy. Anyway, that's how to get in touch. And you will need to get in touch when we make the big announcement at the end of the show. But it's time now for section number one, prediction time. Jimbo, kick us off.
Right, so who's going to win the World Service, JG?
You've got to just move on for James. Hold on, okay? No more servicing. Let's just focus on the game. World Series. Who's going to win the... hang on. Before we get to the World Series...
I reckon we're going to get several thousand more listens this week. I say, with the
yeah, but... they're all going to have completely the wrong idea about the point of the podcast. That's the problem.
Right? Yeah, there's going to be a lot of very disappointed listeners. So yes, the World Series, Jonathan. So, yeah, go on. In one, who's going to win the World Series?
You want to jump straight to the World Series? You don't want to talk about the divisional winners first? You want to just do that?
Yeah, go on. I want it straight out. Then we'll go to
the... Look at the shirt I'm wearing. What's the shirt I'm wearing? Okay, and this is not just a decision made with the heart. Obviously, that's had an impact. But I'm serious. I think this is the year for the mighty Braves. I'm going Braves for the World Series.
Blimey.
It's a kiss of death, I know.
As you say, as a fellow Braves fan, there is no worse words to hear, I think, at this time of the year, that Johnny is tipping us for World Series glory.
Oh, so come on, then the Dodgers. Wow, shock, horror. What a tough call.
I mean, that's all I get. But nobody has gone back-to-back for World Series wins for over 20 years, since the Yankees in the late 90s. But... yeah, honestly, the Dodgers look mighty, mighty strong. But
I agree. But you know what? I think we're better this season. And we were 3-1 up in the championship series against them last season. Was it 3-1 or 3-2? So, you know, we were very, very close. And I think that we may have filled a few holes if Soraka is back and is fit. I think that strengthens our rotation. So I still love our relief pitchers.
Maybe. Let's get into it. Go on. As I say, to make us not talk about Braves, I thought we would cover the American League first. And just to say, we've agreed, Johnny, haven't we, that we will deliberately try not to pick the same team for every league to make it a slightly more interesting.
We've got one sort of bye on that in each division because I think it would be virtually impossible. So I'll kick things off. AL East, I've just got a little hunch. I'm going with an outsider. I'm going with Toronto. I think they are batting 1-9. I'm loving the hitting lineup. Yes, their pitching's not as strong, but I think they could outscore any team. So actually, outside of their ace, I think that ultimately, no matter how bad their pitching is, they could still win enough ball games to win the division. I'm going for the Blue Jays.
Interesting. I agree with you on the hitting. I think it's superb. I think 1-9 is one of the most powerful lineups there is. I think we'll have loads of, you know, as many players from Toronto as we can get in our fantasy lineups. But yeah, I do worry about the pitching. Outside of Ryu, I worry. So I think they are getting up there. I think they'll make for some brilliant, brilliant games, some absolute slugfests. But I'm afraid of all the teams I didn't want to put on this list, I'm putting the Yankees as my pick for the AL East.
But Jimbo, I mean, one, it's an easy pitch. You're just being lazy here. And two, we both know that they're certainly their hitting is so dependent on three players who literally are incapable of having more than 100 games in a season. Physically, they are so vulnerable. How can you be confident that this side can go all the way over 162 games? I mean, no matter how good they can be, they were odds on literally to win the American League last year. Look what happened to them.
Yeah, and to be clear, this is not my preferred choice, but, you know, I'm looking at the numbers. I think their pitching is significantly improved. I think Kluber's looked okay, and if he can miraculously stay healthy, I think if time comes back strong, I think people are maybe slightly sleepy on Domingo Germán. I think the rotation will be much better, and I think that lineup is still... I mean, they've got so many hitters that even if half of them are out injured, they've actually got their reinforcements, their replacements are so strong. So, yeah, if I've got to pick somebody... I mean, I would love it to be the Blue Jays. I just like seeing things shared around, to be honest. So the more different teams that are doing well, brilliant. It was great to see Tampa this year. But my head on this says Yankees.
And can I pick up on that, Jim? Why not the Rays? Neither of us have gone with the Rays when you consider not only did they win the division, but they went all the way to the World Series. Why have you not selected the Rays?
I think arguably they're, you know, the most well-run baseball team there is in MLB. I worry whether they can really be strong enough over 162 games, the way it requires so many different pieces to fit to that engine so perfectly in so many different ways. It's like a sort of a finely tuned Formula One car or something. And it just requires an awful lot of things to go right. And again, the pitching, I slightly worry. You know, they've got rid of Snell and replaced him with a mixture of Chris Archer.
Yeah.
You know, Michael Wacker. It's you know, there's a few other people, but it's just the quality at the very top that makes me worry. I think everything they've done is absolutely sensational, but I worry over 162 games. But I'm very happy to be wrong again.
Okay, well, I think you're going to be wrong in the Central. Who have you gone for?
So I'm playing traditional. I know who you're going to go for, and I know it's different than me. So I'm again playing. So I'm going for the Twins.
Yeah.
I think the Twins have shown themselves over the last couple of years to be the strongest team in that league. I think their hitting is very, very powerful. There's a lot of veterans in there, but you know, you get, if Donaldson again stays fit, if Nelson Cruz is back, there's a lot of runs there. They're very strong, and I think some of their pitching is underrated. I think it's more about, I think the Twins are guaranteed to do quite well. And it's more about a team that you're going to talk about, whether they can absolutely turn it on and get everything working or not. Because the Twins are going to be there and going to put up, you know, they've kind of got what I'd call a high floor. I think there's another team in there who arguably have a higher ceiling. But I'm going to pick the Twins because I think it's the safest option.
Okay. Well, I know you're a man who loves to play safe. As we know, I'm the exact opposite. I'm going with the White Sox. I think their time is now. You saw the potential last season. They were knocking on the door. I'm loving their 1-2 punch in the pitching. I think they're underrated, in fact. Giolito, obviously, and Lance Lynn. But they're both considered top 20 starting pitchers in the whole of the major leagues. I think they're even better than where they're ranked at the moment, if I'm honest. So I love the look at this White Sox side, and I think they're young, I think they're hungry, and they've still got a few great veterans. Certainly you had some phenomenal season last year with Jose Abreu being the obvious choice, you know, that provides that stability and that experience for the younger players. I'm loving the White Sox. I think they're going to be exciting to watch, and I really want them. It's a bit like Toronto in many respects. I'm choosing a side that's got youth that I think is going to have hunger and drive, and they're going to be exciting to watch. And I love excitement. Despite your name, your new name in the world of baseball, I'm the one that gets excited on a regular basis, despite my age, whereas you go for the boring traditional choice of the Yankees and the Twins that any old idiot could choose. Anyway, moving on swiftly before you have a couple.
I think it's an interesting analogy you said there, but the interesting linking between the Blue Jays and the White Sox. I think they are very similar in many ways. And I think they are, use the word exciting. I think that's exactly the right word for both of those teams. I think for fantasy, they will be very exciting. And for real life baseball, both the White Sox and the Blue Jays will be fantastic fun to watch. So whenever they're on BT Sport or wherever, absolutely, they're both teams. We want to get to watch the matches.
Okay, buddy. Well, I think we're both in agreement with the AL West. I've certainly gone for the A's of Oakland, and I think you have as well, haven't you?
Yeah, I have. Again, is this a safe pick? I just look at their squad. I feel they're stronger. I feel this could be their year. Things kind of turn around. If Frankie Montas is back, I think they're just quite safe through safe again. all their rotation spots throughout the lineup. I just think there's a lot to like there, and I'm not convinced. I think there are some other good teams in there. You know, the Astros have been, you know, the pick for quite a long time. I'm just not convinced that they've really done enough to patch up their holes of some of the players that have left this.
I think it's also just a lack of choice as well, because unfortunately there's some very poor sides in that division. I would love the Angels. I've sort of felt that the Angels were knocking on the door of sort of having a breakout season. But, you know, you look at their starting rotation, their top rated starter is Dylan Bundy, who according to ESPN's average draft position is around considered about the 36th best starting pitcher in the major leagues, 119 overall. You know, that's their ace, that's their number one. Hotani, of course, we all know, has got huge potential, which has not really been lived up to, and obviously has the mixed role, which seems to impact on his ability to stay healthy. But if he does, who knows? Angels, maybe, mate. Maybe that would be an exciting choice. And certainly Mike Trout deserves a bit of postseason success.
Maybe.
I agree with you. I still can't see beyond Oakland. I'm just saying.
But wild card, I say, because you talked about the Angels there. There is something brewing in the Angels. I don't understand why they haven't added more pitching this winter. That seems odd. Their lineup, I think, is fantastic. I love Jared Walsh, who came up last summer. I think he's really interesting. I think you look through that lineup with Rendon, you look through Trout. Otani has looked absolutely sensational in spring training thus far. So I think, you know, without giving too much away, I'm probably back in on Otani now, particularly if you've got him a player where you can have him as both a hitter and a pitcher for the same price. Yeah. So actually, I have picked the Angels for the wild card, because I kind of think if a lot of things just suddenly went right for them, this could be the year. But they I don't know where they're going to find pitching from. I'm not sure that their rotation or their bullpen is powerful enough. I think they are going to have to find some reinforcements somewhere. But there is, as a club, absolutely, you can't help but root for them. And a really, a good lineup, worth watching.
Well, obviously, from a wildcard perspective, my choices have been impacted on what I went for as divisional winners, because you can't leave out the Yankees and the Twins. I've been slagging you off for choosing them as divisional winners, but they're going to be there. They're going to be competitive. So I've got them down as my wildcard teams, Yankees and Twins. So if we continue the American League journey, who do you see in the championship series?
Oh, so I should say my other wild card. So White Sox is my other one. So the Angels and the White Sox are who I've picked. I think the White Sox have a fantastic season, but it's important that we can have some different discussions.
Absolutely. So who's going to progress then? You've got your wild card. You've said White Sox, Angels. You've got the A's winning the West. You've got the Twins winning the Central. Yankees winning the East. Who's going to progress to the American League Championship Series?
For me, I've got a really interesting one. I've actually gone for the Twins against the White Sox. So the hoodoo that the Twins have had, they've lost, I can't remember how many postseason series in a row. I mean, and most of them like 3-0 every time.
Yeah.
They've lost. Something's got to change. So I'm going for an American League Central Battle Royale, the Twins against the White Sox in the American League Championship Series.
Okay, mate. I'm not so big on the Twins as you are, so I'm going Toronto White Sox. But like you, I love the idea of the White Sox in the Champions Series. I've gone for the two exciting teams. I've gone for youth. And obviously, from that, it goes without saying that I'm going to predict the White Sox are going to be representing the American League in the World Series.
Yeah, I might join you on that.
Hey!
If I'm allowed to.
Yeah, you are. Yeah, you are. So hang on. So you haven't got them winning the division, but you have got them going all the way to the World Series.
It's postseason baseball, isn't it? It's a different kind of thing. So I agree. I think you know, the 1-2 of Giolito, I think this could be his year to really turn it on. And Lance Lynn, Dallas Keuchel, I think the lineup is there to scare anybody in baseball. You know, as we've talked about a lot, for postseason baseball, you need to be hot for the last month of the season. You need to be hot for October. There's no reason the White Sox can't do that. Some of their young players get older, get a bit more experience and really turn it on. So, and I think it'd be a great story. White Sox in the World Series would be a great story.
And since we are talking about the White Sox, I hope you don't mind me just taking a slight segue. What's your thoughts on the new manager?
New manager, old manager.
Yeah, well, God, I mean, how old is Tony La Russa? 70, is he what, 74, 76?
I don't know, he's not.
But he's been there and done it. And more importantly, he's been successful with different sides. It's not like he doesn't know how to win.
He has.
He's been out of the game as a manager for quite a while.
I think our allegiance to the Braves is very clear to anybody who listens to the show. So I was about to say, I'm not a White Sox fan. The White Sox fans I know, and I know a couple rather than loads, I wouldn't say I'm massively enamoured by the choice. And felt it was a kind of slightly rose-tinted view of going back 10, 15, 20 years. So it surprised me. And I know there are sort of allegations in his personal life and things like that, but it's from a purely baseball perspective, which is what we look at. It wouldn't have been my choice with the squad they have, the focus on youth, and the increasing importance of analytics within baseball. No.
Okay, so that's a negative for our mighty White Sox. Right, let's move on to the National League. I've already obviously attached my flag to the poll for the National League East. It goes without saying that I think the Braves are going to win it. You don't. Are you honestly wearing a Braves hoodie for this podcast and you're about to tell me they're not going to win the division?
There's a small bit of me that is trying to say that this is about bluff and double bluff and, you know, if I say something else. But I have to say I'm very impressed by what the Mets have done over the winter. So I actually have picked the Mets. I think the Braves are sensational. They've got an unworldly lineup, but I'm really worried about the pitching. Really worried. We started.
Have you seen Ian Anderson's performances in spring training?
Yeah, I think he's a great pitcher, but he's not
phenomenal.
How long is Charlie Morton going to go before getting injured? How long is Drew Smyly? You know, he did, what was it? Most he's done in recent seasons is like 12 starts. I think he looked really impressive, but to be depending on Smyly.
But we're not depending on Smyly. Look at the rest of the mind. Max Fried is an absolute workhorse. He was phenomenal last season. Soraco is back after a whole year off.
He's not back.
Will be back.
He can't even run yet.
He doesn't need to run. He's a pitcher.
We're hoping he's going to be back by the middle of April. I'm concerned. And the depth, is it coming through? Carl Wright has had a horrible spring. Bryce Wilson has done okay. So even who we've got the fifth, the front five I'm comfortable with. It's more, there will be injuries. There always are for every team. And I think we have a particularly vulnerable team. I think we're one arm short in the pen. And I think we're one arm short in the rotation for the duration of the season. Again, I actually think in the postseason, the Braves absolutely could turn it on. Like we did last year, we're very unlucky not to get to the World Series. But yeah, I do worry. We talked last week about the Mets and the depth of their squad, and that's what's really impressed me over a 162 game season.
Maybe
we've forgotten that, just the daily drudge of that, and I think that's where they've got depth. I mean, their lineup now looks really good. They've got bench players who are really good. They've got a depth in the rotation, although having lost Carrasco, that may be the end of them. But equally, we're here to have discussion, and I feel much better if I pick the Braves to win and the Mets end up winning the World Series. I'd be distraught. But if I pick the Mets to win and the Braves win the World Series, it's win-win-win for me. So,
okay, you're hedging your bets. You're doing a Peter Cook, young man. I don't know if you know, Peter Cook was very famous for... He would never back what he wanted to happen. His attitude was, if my team loses, I make money. It's a win-win. So very interesting psychology.
He's very sensible.
Very sensible. Man. Right. So. National League Central.
Then you go first.
Well, we've both gone for the Brewers. And that's, I hate to say it, it's more to do with just how appalling a division it is.
You told me I couldn't have the Brewers. I've gone in a different direction now. Come on, tell us about the Brewers. Why do you like the Brewers?
I like the Brewers. This is an awful thing to say, because they're sort of like the best of a worst bunch. I mean, it's not a great division. You don't get the impression they've done much, any of them, over the off season to strengthen. And at the end of the day, when you got Christian Yelich, and I can't believe last season is representative of his talent. He is for me comfortably a top 10 player. And when you've got a player of that quality, you're always in with a shout. The rest of the lineup doesn't exactly scream runs, if I'm brutally honest. You've got Colton Wong at the top of the order. Lorenzo Cain is not exactly a spring chicken. He's getting on a bit. So yeah, it's not a side that I think are going to worry the big boys, but in a division that is really, really insipid, I think they've got more than enough. And I forced you to go with someone else because you were originally going to go for the Brewers. So who are you going with, Jim?
Well, Johnny, I've always thought the best team in the division. I'm going to go for the Cards then, simply because they've always been a sort of a nemesis of the Braves, but they're a very professional team.
Yeah.
I think people are underestimating the lineup. You know, you've got a team that's got Goldschmidt, Edmund up the top, so not bad. You've got Goldschmidt, you've got Arenado. We'll talk about Dylan Carlson later. He's further down the lineup at the moment, but I think we'll end up towards the top of the lineup. You know, I think they've got some sneakily good hitters. Maybe this is the year Tyler O'Neill finally breaks out and does something. And equally in the rotation, it's just quite dependable. There's nothing exciting there, but equally, yep, this is the team that have had a consistently good record and have consistently always possibly outperformed the squad they have on paper. They are a good team, well managed. It's a well-run ball club. I could just see them just remaining again that 162 game season. I could see them ending up on the top of the pile at the end of the season.
So you're expecting Jack Flaherty to prove to be the ace that you certainly were talking about him being last season?
Yeah, I think he's a great pitcher. Again, there's a bit of youth in that club. And the Cardinals are always famous for they've got rid of a lot of very good players in recent years. So Arozarena being one, Luke Voigt being another. But traditionally, they are a player who their minor leagues consistently produce. So players that have kind of come out, they've got a really strong bullpen, a lot of it kind of homegrown. I think that will be a huge advantage for them. There will be other players coming out there in minors who I think won't be massively heralded, but will deliver and will produce. So yeah, strong bullpen, decent lineup, couple of decent starting pitchers. I just think they'll be quite solid. And if nobody else suddenly turns it on, I think the Cards may end up top of the pile come October.
Okay, well, let's move into the West. I'm not sure why we're bothering. Possibly the strongest team from top to bottom, whether it's hitting or pitching, that I've seen put together in literally all the years that I've been involved in baseball. I mean, it's impossible to look beyond the Dodgers.
Agree. I'm not sure there's a lot to say. I think the Padres have made the offseason. They've really gone for it and really made an effort. And I kind of want to give them a large call out for doing that. But I can't. I just can't see even the Padres, who arguably could be the second best team in the whole of the National League. I can't see them. Dodgers, the depth of that starting rotation with Bauer added, the incredible range of options they've got in their lineup, it's very, very impressive. I mean, yes, they spend an absolute fortune running that club, the biggest payroll in baseball, but it's very impressive.
And by some margin, we should point out. I mean, payroll wise, I mean they've gone way beyond the Yankees. When you consider in previous seasons, the Yankees were always top of the payroll, and yet they've total payroll they've gone past them with a bit to spare. I mean, I'm not sure where. I mean, obviously you've talked about budget for any individual team. A lot of it's to do with geographical location. It's to do with TV rights, and it's a massive market. Obviously, the West Coast is a massive market, but it's still extraordinary numbers. And just looking at the bookies as well, Jim. I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but I've never seen a team as low as the Dodgers now, before the season's even started, 162 regular season games to go. And the Dodgers right now, the best price you're going to get is just over 3-1 on the Dodgers winning the World Series. I've never seen a preseason price that low. That says everything. And you do feel for the Padres, because would you believe it? The Padres are third favourites with the bookies to win the World Series. Third favourites, who are not even going to win their division, 17-2.
Doesn't surprise me at all, actually. But surely you've got them. Who are your wild card two then? Padres and?
I have gone for Padres and Mets, because I agree with you. I think what the Mets have done in the offseason is hugely impressive. I think they are a very serious danger. I mean, I think the National League East is a really competitive division. Yeah. I think, the Phillies have still got something to say. Washington, you look at their hitting lineup for Washington, and if Schwarz is fit, that's phenomenal.
And Miami. Absolutely.
And I think Miami as well. I think the starting rotation for Miami is massively underrated. Again, Miami, nothing to lose. Young kids just going out, playing ball, and with a smile on their face. I think they could take anybody down on their day.
No, I completely agree. Well, we'll talk about Miami probably next week, because I kind of think in a lot of the sort of pitchers to pick up outside the top 250, there's some really I think there's some really interesting pitching going on, particularly in Miami. Okay, so I've gone Padres and Braves because despite, you know, thinking the Mets, you know, not having the Braves in the World Series would be incredibly disappointing given the investment we've made, the squad we've got, the youth and the talent we've got on that team. So I've got them all make it. So National League, NLCS.
Yes, NLCS for me is going to be the Braves against the Dodgers. It's a rematch of last year. Oh, and this time the Braves are not going to fall at the last hurdle. They are going to take the Dodgers down.
Yeah, I mean, I can see it, Andy. I could see it being, yes, Dodgers, Braves, Dodgers, Padres, Dodgers, Mets, any of those, really. I think, yes, Dodgers, somebody, really. And then, yeah, World Series. So, World Series, we both have Dodgers against Dodgers, White Sox, then. Is that where we're ending up?
Totally not. No. Braves against the White Sox and the
Braves. Sorry. Yeah, you've got the Braves winning it all, haven't you? Yeah.
The Braves to beat the White Sox in the World Series. So, yeah, Braves beat the Dodgers. You've obviously got the Dodgers. And you're going for the Dodgers for a repeat, as you mentioned, which is pretty much history-making. And looking at the price, no one can back a team at 10-3. I'm sorry. You cannot back a team in baseball that is that short of the 162 games to go. We all know what can happen, injuries, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm now going to offer you some insight to some of the prices for some of the teams you've mentioned. 14-1, the Twins for the World Series. 10-1 for the Mets and the Braves. 18-1 Oakland, we talked about. Blue Jays, my big tip in the East for the American League. 18-1. Your Cards, 25-1, mate.
My Cards?
Well, you've predicted them as a divisional winner. So, you know, they make the postseason, and we both know anything can happen in the postseason. Yeah. The team can get hot, the team can get injured. You just don't know. I mean, I'm trying to see if there's anybody down here in the big, big prices. If you've got a £1 each way that you want to have a little bit of a punt on. Angels, 40-1, mate?
Yeah, I think that's really interesting, actually. You talk about a team with Trout, you know, Bundy gets hot, if they get a bit more pitching. The lineup is good. The Angels, that's 40-1 for the Angels. That's very...
Yeah, that's a decent price. Really have you got the Reds and the Indians, 33-1, and the Nationals? 33-1.
You're getting far too excited about the betting. Let's
we'll move it on.
We'll come back as the season cracks on.
Okay. Right. Section number two. It's the big announcement. We need like a sound interlude at this point, don't we?
We'll get Eric on that.
For those of you who don't know who Eric is, Eric, the producer, the legendary producer of Channel 5 Baseball, Wednesday and Sunday night, midnight through till 5. And Eric is very kindly helping us out and producing this pod, as well as his own, which I'll be mentioning later. He's doing an ice hockey pod at the moment. So we'll give you a reference to that. And, of course, the Johnny and Josh show, which Eric is such a key part of, is back. We will be back with our first pre-season preview show.
That's your small announcement. Well, it's the small announcement,
but this is the big.
So the small announcement is Johnny and Josh is back as of next weekend. Yes.
Yes.
The four of you will be getting together.
Yes, and you don't know how hard it is to get two people from across the pond together at the same time as Eric and I. But we've managed it. We've got a recording time in the bag, and we will be doing the pre-season Johnny and Josh show next, which will be coming out next weekend. Right.
Excellent. That's it comes the out small the same feed announcement. As this. So, yeah,
it does indeed. It does indeed. All part of the Ted Fred stable. So let's focus on the big announcement for Behind Home Plate, episode number 3. We've had loads of feedback, and we really appreciate it, whether it be with the emails, at behindhomeplatepod@gmail.com or on Twitter at BHPpod or on our personal Twitter accounts. And a lot of people talking about the itch to play fantasy baseball. And this is us sending a shout out for you guys and girls who've wanted to dip the toe, but not been brave enough, or have dipped the toe. And it's been such a horrific experience because you didn't know what you were doing, that you've lost the will to live and you don't want to do it again. Well, we're offering you the chance to get involved with a rookies fantasy baseball league that we're going to set up. Now, we're only going to be looking at possibly 20 participants. So it's a first come, first served scenario. Okay. So if you want an introduction to fantasy baseball, the nursery slopes, which explains the background.
Okay.
The nursery slopes.
So that's where we're at, into fantasy baseball, although minus the snow. and minus the scenery and minus the glue vine and minus the fondue when you finish. Yeah.
All right, mate. Look, I know you've not been on holiday for yonks, and I know you're missing your skiing holiday. Let's just calm down. No, we're going to be focusing 100% on you rookies to fantasy baseball. If you fancy giving it a go, then you need to get in touch. And the first 20 that we hear from will be part of the league. Jimbo, just go through a few of the details of what you anticipate, because you're not going to overcomplicate this, are you? You're going to make this about fun and as simple to follow as possible.
Yeah, very much. This is, I mean, you know, we kind of talk a lot about three different audiences. Quite a lot of the audience to Behind Home Plate are people who just love baseball. They like hearing people talking about baseball. Obviously, Johnny and I are friends who are massively passionate about baseball. This is what we do. Then you've got quite a large chunk of people who do play baseball, fantasy baseball, and are looking for kind of, I'd say, more sort of advanced tips and kind of sleeper picks and how to get ahead, how to get an edge in their league. And then what we found is actually there's quite a large chunk of you who are either just beginning on your journey or really interested in playing fantasy, have never had the chance, they don't really know how to get into it. So this is for you. We will try this, and depending on how many people we get, we'll either do it for the first half of the season and do another one in the second half, but we'll see what goes. But this will be probably next Sunday, which is the 28th, so probably Sunday morning, the 28th of March. We'll do it probably using ESPN because I think it's the simplest. It'll be a head-to-head league, so you get to sort of take on one other person each week and then start again fresh each week, so you know you don't get left too far behind if your roto team isn't doing well. We'll do the draft. We'll commission that and manage that. I should say, if there's somebody out there who loves commissioning baseball, fantasy baseball leagues, and would love to do this for us, we would be absolutely delighted to hear from you. That would be amazing and save me from doing it along with the other 24 leagues that I'm in, but that's fine. But yeah, so it'll be very straightforward. We'll keep the squads relatively small and small. Twice a week, you'll be able to kind of move a player in or out, that kind of stuff. And it'll really just kind of help you. There will, of course, be a winner, because there always is a winner and there has to be. But this is very much just about kind of getting people into fantasy baseball, understanding what it feels, understanding the buzz, so that so next year you're absolutely ready and can join some full-on proper leagues. So yep. Voila, that's it. But you need to email us behindhomeplatepod@gmail.com or send us a direct message on Twitter @bhppod. We'll take the first however many people we can get, and if we get too many of you, we might do a first half season and a second half of the season.
Yeah,
exactly. That clear enough?
Yeah, clear as mud, mate. Thank you for that. Right, moving on swiftly. Section 3: Trust or Bust.
It's back.
Well, yeah, it was a great idea, buddy. It was very popular with the listeners from last week. So I think this week, though, we'll take it another level. Let's focus on a trust and a bust in every single position. You okay with that?
Yeah, very happy.
And in honor of your new, your new nickname in the world of fantasy baseball, I'm going to let you go with the bust.
Oh dear, mate. I mean,
sorry, mate. Move on swiftly. It's a family show.
Yeah. Cool. Right. So catcher. So I'm going to go catcher for my bust. I am going to have Will Smith of the Dodgers. Fantastic player. If I could have any catcher in a dynasty league, it would probably be Will Smith. But for this season, again, as always, we're talking about value. The price that I'm going to have to pay for Will Smith, for me, is not worth it. So we've talked already about National League not having the DH, so Smith is only going to be playing catcher. The Dodgers have inferred, maybe rather than said out loud, that he's going to be catching half of the games and not that much more than that. I think he'll do a few more than that, but I think he's only going to be catching 55-60% of the games max. And for where he's going in drafts, in sort of the top 120, 125, I think you can get more value from another player at that position. So that's my bust. Who are you trusting, Johnny?
Okay, I'm trusting Wilson Contreras, 28 years old, backstop for the Cubbies, in the middle of a decent lineup with some, with some good bats. Average draft position 146. I think if you're looking for somebody who's definitively going to give you value for where they are positioned in the draft, you don't need to look any further than Wilson Contreras. He could even be a big upside, but definitely trustworthy.
I agree. And I think he will play, importantly, 70-75% of the time for the Cubs as well. I think that in terms of playing time, he's a catcher who catches a lot.
And that's such a key factor, isn't it? Okay, well, let's move on to first base. And I'm already getting nervous. Who's going down the bus route?
Yeah, I've been waiting all podcast for this moment. So my bust, first base, is Josh Bell of the Nationals. And to be clear, I mean, it's not that I hate Josh Bell. I would happily have Josh Bell as my corner infielder in any team, in a 10-teamer, in a 12-teamer, happily have Josh Bell as my corner infielder. What I don't want is Josh Bell as my starting first baseman. I think he's a solid player, but I still think there are some people thinking that half season he had 2 years ago when he really was sensational is typical of Josh Bell, whereas I don't think it is. So I'm not sure there's that much value. And again, he's going actually similar time to Will Smith in the cut of the 120s. I think you can do better at that stage, both at first base and overall.
Latest ESPN average draft position, 131. I think that's absolutely fine. I think a bigger bust is Cody Bellinger, ranked almost top 10. I would not be trusting those numbers, whereas Josh Bell, I think you're fine. We'll have to have a conversation at the end of the season. But yeah, I'm in sort of a bit of disagreement.
With you. I don't disagree on Bellinger, by the way. I think he's a fantastic player. I've got him in a keeper league, but the injury worries me a bit, and you know, last year's form. So yeah, I wouldn't be looking to put out a top 15. You know, he's not going to be a first rounder for me. If he drops a bit, maybe, but not a first rounder, no.
Okay, well, on the trust front for first base, I think you can't go much worse than Pete Alonso, average draft position 48 with the Mets. We all know how disappointing last season was for him. It was COVID. Ignore that. Hit 50 home runs the season before. You know, he's a youngster. He's only age 26. He's still got his whole career in front of him. He's hitting in a decent lineup in a very competitive side. And for my money, I think he was swinging from the hips last season because he got carried away with the whole home run thing. If you look at his career average, batting average, it was down like 30, 40 points. He gets back to just putting bat on ball. He will be the baseball player we know him to be. I think at 48 ADP, that's great. That is a great trust value. And I think, in fact, he'll be worth a lot more. Moving on. No response. There you are. That's good enough.
I'm happy. I love Alonso. And similar to you, I think there's value to be had. I don't see him as a top 15 player, but I think easily he could return top 30 value. And with all of these picks, that's what you're looking to get, is just get a bit more value from every player that you've picked on them. And I think Alonso's fantastic for that. So second base bust, I'm going to go for poor old Cavan Biggio, who we've talked about several times on this show. I think the Blue Jays have a sensational lineup, but Biggio seems to have slid down it. So the new acquisitions of Springer, of Semien, have pushed Biggio out of his position in the top two in the lineup. And he's now down around sixth, seventh in that Toronto lineup. That means he'll be able to steal less, I think. And I'm not sure that, you know, the price is necessarily reflecting that. So I don't really love second base, full stop. It's always been a bet noir in my building of baseball teams. But he's somebody I'll be actively looking to avoid and hoping that somebody else ponies up for the name or for how he did last season rather than how I think he's going to do this season.
Unbelievably thin position, Jim. I can't agree more. You got, you know, Jeff McNeil ranked the sixth best second baseman. Don't get me wrong. Always puts the ball in play. Great on-base percentage, but that's pretty much it. He's your sixth best second baseman. Love Kevin, like you, but agree with you 100%. Doesn't hit the skin off the ball. And if they have taken the juice out of the ball, Bob's your uncle. I 100% agree that I think he's being overrated. Dylan Moore is my trust for candidate, the Seattle outfielder as well as second baseman. And the reason being is ADP is 163. So that's quite a long way down. And yet they're saying he's going to lead off for Seattle. He steals bases, loads of value to be had in a traditional 5x5 hitting category league.
Agree. I think the key for me is the stolen bases, getting somebody who can get you 20, 25 stolen bases across the season, but who isn't going to destroy you in the other categories, available at that kind of a price, I think he's a steal. And even if he's not, that's when you should be taking risks. You don't take risks in the top 50. You do take risks, you know, after pick 150. Absolutely. Yeah. Great pick.
Okay. Third base. Who's your bust in third base?
Third base, I'm going to pick on a young man, seems slightly unfair, Ke'Bryan Hayes of the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Oh, wow.
I think he's got a huge future in the game, but I'm not sure it's going to be this year. He came up last year, had an absolutely dream debut for two or three weeks, was hitting dingers out the park every night. I looked amazing, but that's not who he is. He's a player with some speed who gets a high average. I'm not sure he's like a 30-plus home run bat. The Pittsburgh lineup is going to be dreadful this year, so I'm not sure there's anybody even on base for him to drive in. And I think what we saw last year was the absolute ceiling of what he can get to. So again, it's not that I'd happily have him on a team. I think he's great, but for the price that you might need to acquire him, I'm not sure there's going to be any further value this year. So I think he'll have a quiet year. Come back 2022, I absolutely think he might be one of our sleeper picks.
Okay, well, from a trust perspective, I'm going from one extreme to the other. You're talking about a young man, a rookie. I'm going to talk about a veteran, 35-year-old Josh Donaldson, ADP 181 in a phenomenal Minnesota hitting lineup. We all know how good a hitter he's been throughout his career, as long as he stays healthy. And even if he doesn't, at pick 181, you're still going to basically get a return that is the equivalent of that position. But if he does stay healthy, I think he will be sending you skyward. And I think he's a big, big trust bet. I love Josh Donaldson.
Great. Very happy with that.
Okay. Shortstop. Absolutely inundated. If ever there's a position that is so deep these days. So who are you going from a bust perspective?
It's hard because I like so many of the shortstops and I actually really like the guy I'm picking as a bust. So this is more about if you're playing in a roto league, we've talked a lot about the way to success is playing it safe through your early picks and just banking those dollars or banking the amount of return and getting those stats and then taking the risks later on. That's why my bust at shortstop has to be Adalberto Mondesi. He can win you the stolen base category single-handedly, but he can also completely torpedo your season if it doesn't work. So the last couple of weeks of last season, he was sensational. The first 6 weeks, he was absolutely terrible and dropped in loads of leagues. I cannot take that kind of a risk in the first two rounds of a draft, and that's the price you're going to have to pay. So again, it comes down to value. I simply don't want to be taking that kind of a risk that early in my draft.
100
exciting player though.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And what he did in September last season was almost a league-winning performance for many fantasy owners. Almost, I say, with a hint of irony. But also, when it comes to trusts, I have to say, buddy, I'm going to go down the route that I went down last season. I was so chuffed with this selection. Drafted Dansby Swanson, our brave shortstop. Really hopefully he was going to have his breakout season. And he really did. And my God, how good was he for us and for any fantasy manager like myself? Absolutely love Dansby. And when you consider his average draft position, he's considered the 12th best shortstop at 95. I think that's rock solid. He's 27 years old. He's in a phenomenal hitting lineup. The only negative is at the moment, he's down to bat six. I would like to see him batting above Travis Arnaud, the catcher at five, to just get a little bit more into the mix. If he gets that or he leads off, which he did a few times last season, then I think his value soars. But I think that's a great trust call.
I agree. And I think people forget he steals bases. I mean, not loads, but he'll get 10 to 15 steals this season. And that could be mighty, mighty valuable with somebody you're picking at that kind of a slot. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Outfield. Loads to choose from. Who's your bust?
So, again, another one I feel a bit mean about and somebody I would love to have on every single one of my teams, but just not at the price it'll cost me. And that's Kyle Tucker of the Houston Astros. Incredibly, long ballyhooed sort of prospect. Great pedigree, can hit for power, can steal bases, get something, does it all, and has the potential absolutely to be a top 15 player. But you're going to have to pay what's looking like a top 20, top 25 price to get him this season. And for me, the risk is just too great. He's never played a full 162-game season. He's never remained strong enough to get through that. He's still relatively new on the scene. I mean, huge, huge amount of potential. As I say, I would love him on every team, but not at the price I'm going to have to pay for him. I will be playing it safer than Kyle Tucker at that stage of the draft.
100% in agreement. There is a common theme here, Jim. You are slagging off in your bust column virtually all these superstar youngsters, just as in the predictions earlier in the show, you were going for the old stalwarts, the boring conservative choice. There's a common theme here. I'm the man backing the young teams, backing the youngsters, and I'm going to do it again right now in the trust department for the outfield. I love Kyle Lewis and Dylan Carlson, both of whom are in their mid to young 20s, both of whom came up last season and were hitting the ball long. Dylan Carlson, ADP right now, 149 in a very, very competitive St. Louis lineup. And I think if he moves towards the middle of the order, that will be great value. My trust vote goes to Dylan Carlson.
Excellent. Yeah, I agree. I think he's been slightly discounted at the moment because he's down the bottom of the order. I reckon second half of the season, he'll absolutely be up the top half of the order. Great prospect who I think will really come on.
Okay, starting pitching. Now, presumably, your bust candidates are aplenty, and I'm assuming that injuries and health is the big issue.
Yeah, bang on. Yes, I think I've picked on most of the starters we've talked on in recent weeks. But very briefly, I think any starting pitching is it's a minefield at the best of the times. So why would you start off with somebody who's already an injury risk. And I'm talking Framber Valdez, I'm talking Carlos Carrasco, I'm talking Steven Strasburg. They've all picked up injuries in spring training of different varieties. I would be very nervous. I just don't see why you would want to take on that level of risk on your team when you don't have to.
Agreed. And when it comes to trust, I therefore agree with you because of the unpredictability of starting pitching. That you just, you know, if you're looking for someone to trust, you go for somebody who's ranked really low, whose only upside is to be better than they're being predicted, irrespective of injuries and health. And I love the whole of the, well, certainly the front three of Miami youngsters that no one particularly rates. I think Sixto Sanchez, who of course had a great start last season, is their highest ranked, and he's right down around the sort of 160 mark. But I mean, there are other names as well. Old Sandy Alcantara.
The Miami rotation is, I think, really, really underrated. I agree.
So you can't go too far wrong, can you? I mean, any one of those three, probably, where they're ranked in their average draft position.
Give me your names. Who have you got there?
Well, Pablo Lopez is probably, of the three, the one that I'd go for.
Okay.
He's actually ranked below both Sixto and Sandy Alcantara. I'm trying to get his numbers now. I'm just looking it up. He's way below them. So that to me is...
I agree. I think both Lopez and Alcantara have a chance of coming in the top 30 pitchers at the end of the season. So I agree. Really excited.
Okay, well, the relief pitchers is always a tough one, particularly if you're in a saves-only league. We're not. Our major league is saves and holds. So what's your thoughts on a bust for a relief pitcher?
So, it's just relief pitching is always a nightmare at the best of times. But if I had to pick a bust, I'd say poor old Alex Colomé. Alex Colomé.
Colomé, I think it is.
So of the Minnesota Twins this year, of the White Sox last year, I mean, not that he's bad. He's always, you know, very much outperformed his peripherals. He's a slightly surprising closer in many ways. I think it's more the fact that I don't know how much job security he has. So Rogers is still there, who is the closer for quite a lot of last season for Minnesota. And I think that Colomé may well be in some kind of a timeshare with Rogers. And I think the price you're paying, you're assuming that he is the out-and-out closer for a team likely to have a winning record. So I think possibly it's more about the value not being there rather than him being anything terrible.
And it's a very valid point, because looking at the ESPN ADP, you've got Colomé at 16 ranked relief pitcher, and you just mentioned Taylor Rogers, he's 19th, so even they don't know which really is going to be the closer of note. So I agree, I think that's a really dangerous investment to make. For me, I'm going to go with Jordan Hicks from your St. Louis team that you
right, my St. Louis Cardinals that they've become.
Well, they've got a great bullpen, haven't they? And I think Jordan Hicks, where he's ranked, I think that's really good value. I think he's as solid. I think he's coming off the board about 236th, which it seems crazy to me. I mean, if you're in a saves league, that's fantastic value. That'd be my trust. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree. I think for somebody who could just take the job and run with it, he's got sensational stuff. They have got a really strong bullpen, and I think part of the challenge is there's quite a lot of players there who could be the closer, Alex Reyes or Gallegos, who ran with it for a bit of last season. But I think Hicks has got the stuff, and I think that's a real strength for St. Louis. I think they may well try to give him the job, and if he runs with it, you've got, you know, a top 120 player that you've picked up at, you know, pick 230, 240.
Jimbo, we've got one show left before the season kicks off next weekend. And what I'd love to do is let's give out two fantasy relevant players at each position that are currently outside the top 250 ADP. Outside. So these are the big, big, big numbers that people can look to pick up later. You okay with that?
That sounds good. It's almost a whole show of Hail Marys.
Exactly. Because that was the most popular segment in last year's podcast. So we all love the James Holden Hail Marys. And how good were they? My God, unbelievably good.
It's fair to say, how good were some of them? The other ones we just don't mention.
No one expects them all to be great, mate. But some were absolutely on the nunny, as proven by the fact that I'm a double title winning champion. I don't know if I've mentioned that. Have I mentioned that? No. Anyway.
Is it time we finished?
It is. Yes, absolutely. Guys, we want to get in touch. We'd love to hear from you. Don't forget, if you want to join us in the Rookies Fantasy Baseball League, then we need to hear from you. Email us behindhomeplatepod@gmail.com or Twitter @BHPpod. Or if you want to contact us directly, mine is Johnny M. Gould and James is @Jam99. Do get in touch.
Don't forget, baseball back in 10 to 11 days. Johnny and Josh is back next weekend. First episode previewing the season. Do join us for that. Details to follow. Jumbo, very much best of luck, sir, with the drafts you have coming up, all 400 of them.
Thanks, mate. I appreciate that. Yeah, we're even doing that one together, aren't we? We are co-piloting a team, which is going to be an absolute.
The fat flimps and nerds. I know we come last in that division, buddy. We'll never be able to show our faces again.
We can't even agree on our third round pick, and it all
goes. Could be the end of a beautiful friendship. Excellent. Yeah. As always, mate, thank you for your time. Really appreciate it. And thank you to listening. We look forward to having you company next week, same time, for the best seat in the house behind home.